Welcome to the Lab Up Leaders series, a showcase of global change agents and experts in healthcare and laboratory management. Here's your host, Lab Up Global Founder, Robert Farias.
We'd like to welcome Mr. Usman Bajinka to our podcast. Usman, nice to meet you. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you, Sarabat. It's nice to have you having me.
Thank you. So Usman, let's get started by introducing introducing yourself to the audience. Could we get a bit of an understanding of your academic background and the journey you've taken?
Yes, being born and raised in Gambia, and I actually completed my high school in Gambia, where immediately I had to proceed to do my bachelor's, that is biology and chemistry in both majors. That's the university's requirement, but then you can decide to graduate under one, which I decided to graduate under biology, chemistry as minor. Of course, then my master's, I decided to travel to Turkey in Izmir, Ege University, where I pursued master's in microbiology. Along the line, I pursued a postgraduate certificate in the same city for a different university called İzmir Katip Çelebi University. And the diploma is entirely based on the research methods and ethics. And of course, along the line, while I resume back to Gambia, I resume teaching portfolios. At the same time, I attended an online course called Biorisk Management with the University of Edinburgh in Scotland. And upon which I started my PhD. That required me to travel to China in 2019. And my PhD is on medical microbiology with the Central Southern University in the southern China. And of course, of recent, I am attending a program with Harvard University, the United States of America, with the Harvard International Clinical Genomics Medical Course, which is online and is still ongoing. And that's for it.
So Usman, let's discuss, because that's it's a lot of different countries, a lot of different continents to study on. So what got you interested in the programs in Turkey?
Yeah, purely I got my university's admissions on merit. This is scholarship award. And then, of course, coming from a poor background, or let's say on the average background, financially, I only had to hope for the scholarships, and which, of course, I decided to apply for Turkey's government scholarship. And luckily enough, I got it. And then that's how I found myself in Turkey.
Right.
And then, of course, after completing the first master's, before going home, I decided to pursue further qualifications, so to top it up on my master's. And that's how I was able to won the second scholarship for the postgraduate certificate program.
What was the learning experience like in Turkey?
It was a completely different learning setup for me. Coming from West Africa, Gambia, of course, a very small country. Of course, getting into Turkey, we were actually first had to learn Turkish language. And then my master's actually was instructed in Turkish language. This is only after I had a Turkish language course and Turkish culture for 8 months. And then I had to get myself into do my master's coursework in Turkish language, write, of course, my thesis in Turkish language, and then defend it in Turkish language. So it was completely a different academic setup. But then I along the line, I see it as a challenge, you know, because what came to my mind was my father will not be able to pay for me to go study in UK or America, as the case might be. So this is the opportunity I got, and I took it with my hand. My experience was so far, in fact, one of the best experiences outside my country, if I will be honest with you.
Great. That's great, and it's great on your part to have been flexible enough to pick up another language. And you know, there's one thing to pick up another language to speak locally and to, you know, to travel with and have a discussion. There's another thing to be able to use it in an academic sense. So certainly kudos for you for picking up that skill in such a short period.
Thank you. I could imagine.
Yeah.
Both the language and the culture, it was embedded, and it was amazingly nice.
Sure.
Beginning, it was a challenge, but then as time goes by, it happens to be a norm thing for me.
Great. No, that's a great plus. And then so from Turkey, I know you did some other work also in some biorisk course that you had mentioned. So let's discuss your the rationale in your program in China. So how did that come about?
My program in China specifically, or we start from biorisk management.
We can start with biorisk management. That'd be great.
Yes, with regards to the biorisk management, this was an OSCO, of course, is offered to me by University of Edinburgh through the courtesy of my former workplace, Medical Research Council, which is affiliated to the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine in Gambia. While I was serving as a biological health safety advisor, it is a requirement for me to do that course online. And then that's how I decided to do the course. It took me for 5 months and I was able to get my certificate. Great. Yeah, and this coincided with me traveling to China. And I mean, I completed in August and then I found myself in 2019, September in China to pursue my medical microbiology PhD program.
And how did the exercise for China come about? So what triggered the opportunity in China? Was it again looking for some opportunities and one was open to you there?
Again, going to China specifically was not kind of a hunting for opportunities because there are a lot of opportunities that were available for me at that particular time. I, being the youngest lecturer at the University of the Gambia, the then vice chancellor is from Palestine, Pakistan. And of course, I was awarded a PhD program to go study microbiology in Islamabad University in Pakistan. I also had the opportunity to go back to Turkey and to pursue pharmaceutical microbiology from the university I did my master's. But then after weighing all those, at the same time, I had to apply again, looking for chances on scholarship. Again, I won Chinese government scholarship rather. And then I felt like it's time for me to develop my academic career. So I went through all those universities, check on their website, of course, check on their ranking, world ranking. And I felt like Central South University is higher. Despite it's far away from Gambia to China. But then looking at the academic portfolios, I felt like I will be very much suited and fitted quickly into the medical microbiology group of Central South University. And that's how I find myself in there.
That's great. And so let's discuss your experience there in China. Was it similar to the one in Turkey? Were your studies in English? Were they in Chinese? What was the situation?
Yes, that's another interesting thing. I was expecting something different from Turkey. Turkey is a bit closer to Europe, and I had the opportunity to travel to some of European countries when I was in Turkey. But coming down to China, of course, I presume I had this premeditation that, of course, China is going to be a different country. Luckily enough, my program is not instructed in Chinese language, but in English language. But we had to do some basic Chinese language course. And which avail us to be able to communicate, especially in the lab. Of course, you can imagine that not all in the lab of my lab group will be able to speak English. Of course, the Chinese are generally shy to speak English. So I had to, double up my efforts with regards to Chinese language efficiency. Quickly enough, I was able to speak basic Chinese language, and that availed me to work with the lab group. So the experience will actually fall into the food. Yes, it says China has a different food culture. And then it took me time before I could get used to some of the diets available there. But apart from that, on academic aspect, I was able to imply, in fact, the most progressive academic career as we are speaking to you so far.
Well, that's phenomenal. I know no matter what happens to your future, you'll always be able to act as a translator. or pick up more languages along the way. That's quite impressive. It was kind of
that's the journey I come from. I always look back and decided to know where I am, so I move forward always. That's very, motivation.
Very impressive, Usman. So let's discuss your professional experiences then. So when you were doing your bachelor's degree and then onto your master's and other places, it sounds like you've had some opportunities to work along the way as well, in addition to your academic path. So can you share us some of the professional journey you've taken, please?
Yes, of course. Upon completion of my degree program, the first degree program, biology and chemistry, sometimes it doubts many young scholars as to what step, what's next. And this happened to me as well once I completed biology and chemistry. So what kind of job market is available for me? For us at that time, what we are looking for is just to go to high school and teach either biology and chemistry. But then I decided to make a different directive. I found myself as an intern in the clinical laboratories of a Gambia unit, which is under the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. Working there on the samples, processing clinical samples, sample receptions, sorting, data entry sometimes. Of course, doing that for 3 months, luckily enough, there was an opening of a laboratory technician position where I quickly applied. Luckily enough, I was employed as a laboratory technician with the nutrition group at the same working place. There, I had to move away from the main center to the field station, which is far away from the city. But again, coming from a village, that working condition was okay with me. Processing both research and clinical samples, doing the chemical inventory. And of course, I was the only staff with the BSc qualification at that time. So I had to do some weekly presentations on the most of the laboratory basic techniques, where I was kind of acting as a supervisor to some, when actually my portfolio is still laboratory technician. But that was a good experience for me though. Mm-hmm. And then I had to be the that working place because I enjoy my time in the lab settings where PhD students and master students from UK university, different UK universities, so British to be specific, will come to the lab and work on their samples, process, do analysis. And I had the chance to meet big scientists. One time, one of the most prominent parasitologists, Dr. Richard Bradbury, who is an Australian. And I had the chance to be working closely with Professor Andrew Prentice of UK, of course, the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, a senior lecturer. So through that line, I felt like completing the fourth degree and then working in the laboratory, processing samples, doing analysis and the like, it's not the end. And I started scouting of the opportunities that lies beyond me. And it's through that I happens to found myself, I happens to win a scholarship to go study Turkey. And that's where I left my first job. That is purely on career development. I traveled to Turkey. Mm-hmm.
So when you got back from Turkey, what was your role? Did you come back to Gambia first?
Yes, of course. I stayed beyond my normal stay in Turkey because I was kind of in love with a Turkish lady. So I decided to venture into the second postgraduate degree program that I mentioned earlier. Of course, but in 2018, sometime I felt like I did a lot and I need to go back home and see what opportunities are there waiting for me. As I come down to Gambia, I decided not to sit at home because I totally resigned when I was going on studies. So coming down, it will take some time before you resume your work or you get another opportunity. But I felt like staying at home would rather make things worse. Quickly, I assume an intern position at a molecular diagnostic, that is MDX lab, where actually we are doing most of the time quality control, training on PCR, gel electrophoresis, consumable ordering and management. It's more of a quality control and that complex, that is Medical Research Council. And then of course, while I was there, then the vacancy is out to recruit lecturers at the University of Gambia. That is the only state university in the country. And of course, looking at my age, my qualification, somebody might doubt, how can someone go with masters to go and lecture at the university? Well, I did, I applied, I went there. Even at the recruitment setup, I was able to be found as the youngest. But again, while I was doing my master's or completing my master's, I was along the line writing literature reviews. And then of course, this is a skill that I found, a skill set that I found myself is blessed with. My writings are okay. And I was able to publish 6 different international peer reviewed journal articles. That is when I completed my master's. So while I was applying for the tutorial or lecturer position at the University of Gambia, they considered the publications. And then normally you will come as a graduate assistant or normally lecturer 2. Well, I was promoted directly to lecturer 1. And then of course, not even going to the department or a discipline of natural and physical science where I will go to chemistry or biology. I was instead taken to the medical school, where I will teach students on doing nursing or medical degree program on the lab medicine. And then of course, this is where I started working at and I never resigned because it's a state university. I felt it's a national call for me. I never resigned until I traveled to go study PhD. Of course, while on PhD, the world went into pandemic and the learning setup changed completely. Online method came in. Once the online method popped in, I decided to resume the teaching portfolio as well. And until now, I am teaching. Now that I'm in Gambia, I'm still taking courses to teach students, of course, supervise final year medical students on their thesis. And today, in fact, in the morning, we are having a thesis defense for the final year medical students where I serve as a member of the jury.
Excellent. So let's talk about your experience in the on the publication side and the journals. I know I've came across your profile and the quite significant contribution you've made to research and a lot of publications. I also understand that you've been selected to be a reviewer for several particular journals. So can we talk about that in a bit more detail, please?
Yes. So we talk about publication of dental reviewer because you need to publish, otherwise you're perished. this is the common saying in academia. Sure. Yes, with the publication, like I told you before, these are skill set that I found, I later realized in myself. And of course, with minimal supervisory, I was able to publish a lot along the line. But again, to be frank with you, it is only when I traveled to China to do my PhD, then I happened to be lucky enough to be in a lab group, which are very industrious. And then, of course, the lab setting is a state-of-the-art facility where actually we do more of the molecular methods, Sanger sequencing. So of course, one can imagine caliber of scientific research setups, and of course, making a lot of good findings with the inclusion of the bioinformatics or the omic techniques, proteomic, metagenomics, transcriptomics data, you realize that yes, your findings and your papers will be published with high impact factor journals. So it is true that I realized that, of course, what I was doing actually was not to the par. But then now we as a lab group, we work together. And then, of course, I actually function as a designer. One of my best skills is to design a biological molecular pathway or cellular pathway. This is actually what I do. So I helped in designing the research. And then we all do the experiments in the lab, get our findings, and I will do the compilation because, of course, the level of English that I happen to go with the Amundi lab group is already recognized. So I will do the compilation and everything, writing of the manuscript, do the final proofreading. And of course, most of the times I will be in talking with the editorial system. And through that, it was only in 2 years that we were able to publish 15 peer-reviewed articles with impact factor. And one of my favorites, in fact, is published with the critical reviews in microbiology, where I decided to write on long brain axis, that is to link, to ascertain a biological link between the lung and the brain. That is, of course, what happens, for instance, infections like COVID-19, respiratory syncytial virus, whatever pathogenic effects happens in the pulmonary cavity, will have the effects in the brain, will have functions, and they have a lot of implications on the brain, and using the immunohistology images, you can realize that, of course, there are pathogenic effects in the brain. So these sets of publications of a type of publications gave me the opportunity to be interacting with the editorial journals, different journals, of course. And then, of course, my publications on LinkedIn, and then the number of journals will write to me is if I will be interested to be part of the editorial board membership, reviewer, a guest editor. And then, of course, I look at the journal, whether it suits in my career, because my career perspective is more of infectious disease and biological pathway. So when it suits, I assume it. And then I first started with Emerging Microbes and Infection, which is a very big journal. And then one of the antiviral journals in Singapore. And now the Journal of Poverty and Infectious Disease, which is a BMC journal. So there I serve as a guest editor, and now it is time for me to search for good scientific papers and to justify whether they actually meet the scope of our journal. And of course, to see whether the scientific rigor, the nitty-gritty of the manuscripts are up to par. And then we decide whether we can assume those particular manuscripts to our reviewer session to go through the scientific requirements before they are published to the public.
That's great, Usman. So let's pick up on that. So a lot of colleagues from across the continent and around the world, frankly, have some interest in becoming published, and they're obviously trying to do some work towards that. Any advice or suggestions you may have for people considering People who either been hesitant to try to submit for their first publication, or people who need to want to get themselves ready to do so. Any kind of advice or guidance you would have for those folks?
Yes, it is. I mean, what does not kill you make you strong. I mean, this is what any scientist or any young aspiring scientist will have to understand. Actually, speaking from experience, my first publication was in 2017 rather, but I submitted the article in 2016. So if you imagine, this was a times were elapsed before. And the first major review I received from the reviewers was so kind of heartbroken, if you are not strong enough, per se, that I could also give up at that time, say, wow, this is what I could not do. But I rather took my time to go after those reviews, one after the other, to look at their comments, and I realized that, well, what comments they were making was okay, because my English language was not disciplined at that time. I was choosing words randomly. I didn't know that there was a scientific language. I didn't know that there is a difference between jargons and common English. I didn't know that I was using and blending all kinds of languages and words. But then I went through that. I was able to know the sentence structures, the syntax, the scientific words, how easily you can communicate to the public without being having disturb in it, most disturbance. And then through that, I was able to publish it. So if I was able to do that, then my qualification was only master's. If I was able, perhaps ongoing master's student, I did not even defend my thesis then. If I was able to do that, then I mean, everyone can do it. But it takes focus, you know, commitment, resilience, because anytime you submit, especially to bigger journals or the journals a bit above your scope, it will bounce back to you. But like I said, what does not kill you make you strong. Pay clear attention to what they ask, what's actually disqualify your journal. They will reject your paper. Now look at the reasons why they reject your paper. If you are lucky enough, sometimes you will even see the comments made by the reviewers. Take your time, take that as an opportunity, line by line, word by word, make sure that you adjust to all the reviewers' comments. And once you're done, you realize that even though you will not submit it to that journal, another journal will be there to accept your paper and you'll be published. One specific experience to me was the one I published with Critical Review of Microbiology. I submitted it before to a journal at a lower imperfecto. Mind you, Critical Review of Microbiology is imperfecto 10. And I published it, I sent it to imperfecto 4 or 5 somewhere before, and it bounced back to us. They reject it. But then we work on the comments that they have also rejected. And once I adjust to those comments, send it to the journal higher than that one, and then it's published. So my simple advice to the scientists and young aspiring scientists would be, they have to be focused, committed, and get ready to be adjusting. See things in the outside the box, because journals are different. They have different reviewers. Some reviewers might judge your work based on the mood they are. So if you are not lucky, you might just be a victim of the world that you are not part of. But what is more important is just see things in black and white and make sure that, you know, it is science that you want to send across the entire scientific community, and you're ready for it. The science is real. Then you write and hit for different journals at different times. And one day, at one time, one of the journals will accept it and you will publish.
That's great. No, great to hear that, Usman. Thank you for that advice. And certainly we can probably go into that topic in much deeper and much more depth in a future discussion that we'd love to have and bring you perhaps to present some material to people as well. I think that would be certainly of interest to many people. Usman, at this time in the podcast, we'd like to invite guests to recognize people who've helped them along the way. People have been mentors or major sources of support for them, and like to give you that same opportunity. So I'll leave the floor to you.
Of course, that would be my mother. You know, I have to come from a family where my both parents did not attain any high level of education. But with all that, my mom was there for me. You know, she was there to spend her little money on me so that I can move forward. Yeah, for regards to the inspiration, I'll be honest with you, and for the purpose of the podcast, my inspiration were drawn from where I come from. If I look back, I realize that I was the only person from my family to be lucky enough to go to the university. That was my source of motivation. And of course, I do make a lot of good friends along my line during the university. But again, friends are where you meet them. But the best inspiration will come from you yourself, inner inspiration. Then you can look for people that you will inspire you. And then, of course, you serve as a role model. Part of those that I will definitely single out will be my, of course, the first lecturer that I met, that is the University of the Gambia. Of course, those lecturers were motivating me based on my scores. And then once I move on to the work industry, one is Mrs. Safia Tudabo, who works at the Medical Research Council at the clinical laboratory. And of course, she's the head of my clinical microbiology laboratory. She has been an instrumental woman for me. She wrote a lot of recommendations. Safia Tudabo will be Dr. Alassana Dabo as well. Well, the names of Dabo might come in, but that is a common second name in Gambia. Dr. Alassana Dabo is like a brother to me. He served as my supervisor to my first working place. And then he was doing his PhD, and I would be in the lab with him until in the night, where he would introduce me to the basic immunology. Then he was working on NK cells. And of course, until now, I see him as an inspiration for me. Then Dr. Richard Bradbury, of course, is my first lab manager. Of course, he has been a very instrumental to me. And with all that, I think that some of the professors I met in Turkey, Guven Özdemir, yes, they have been very kind. My supervisor, of course, Richard. I remember she once told me, she once asked me vehemently, why not you choose another university where English language is a mode of instruction? This was our first lecture with her. The first day I was able to explain, I could not explain something that I knew. And then I asked permission if I could explain it in English. And she was like, no, the instruction of the language of instruction in this university, in this department, is Turkish language. So it's unfortunate if you were not able to speak in Turkish language. And that was kind of, instead of being demotivating for me, that was the motivation. That was my source of motivation. So I always think about how whenever it comes to academia, and then I was pushing forward. I had to improve my academy, my language, until I had to graduate with a first class degree from my master's, even though it was instructed in Turkish language. And I was the only student publishing at that time. During my defensing, I remember she came to me and told me that you can do more than what I can, that she said that I can do more than what she did. And that's what I'm working on.
Very good. Well, thank you very much, Usman, for this and for sharing the time with us and to highlight your story and your background and your experiences, and also for sharing some guidance as well for people coming up and looking into the world of publication, trying to understand how to participate. We look forward very much to continuing this conversation at a future time and perhaps explore some additional areas with you. Thank you very much for your time, Usman.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
To make a suggestion of someone that would make a great guest or topic you would like to hear more about, please visit us at labop.org. That's labopp.org. Thank you.